Chapter 2. I turned my back on them and walked out of the warehouse into Chicago's best impression of Miami. July in the Midwest is rarely less than sultry, but this year had been especially intense when it came to summer heat, and it had rained frequently. The warehouse was a part of the wharves down at the lakeside, and even the chill waters of Lake Michigan were warmer than usual. They filled the air with more than the average water scent of mud and mildew and eau de dead fishy. I passed the two gray-cloaked wardens standing watch outside and exchanged nods with them. Both of them were younger than me, some of the most recent additions to the White Council's military/police organization. As I passed them, I felt the tingling presence of a veil, a spell they were maintaining to conceal the warehouse from any prying eyes. It wasn't much of a veil, by warden standards, but it was probably better than I could do, and there weren't a whole hell of a lot of wardens to choose from since the Red Court's successful offensive the previous autumn. Beggars can't be choosers. I tugged off my robe and my cloak. I was wearing sneakers, khaki shorts, and a red tank top underneath. It didn't make me any cooler to remove the heavy clothes, just marginally less miserable. I walked hurriedly back to my car, a battered old Volkswagen Beetle, its windows rolled down to keep the sun from turning the interior into an oven. It's a jumble of different colors, as my mechanic has replaced damaged portions of the body with parts from junked bugs, but it started off as a shade of powder blue, and that had earned it the sobriquet of the Blue Beetle. I heard quick, solid footsteps behind me. "Harry," Ebenezer called. I threw the robe and cloak into the Beetle's back seat without a word. The car's interior had been stripped to its metal bones a couple of years back, and I had made hurried repairs with cheap lumber and a lot of duct tape. Since then, I'd had a friend redo the inside of the car. It wasn't standard, and it still didn't look pretty, but the comfortable bucket seats were a lot nicer than the wooden crates I'd been using, and I had decent seat belts again. "Harry," Ebenezer said again. "Damnation, boy, stop." I thought about getting into the car and leaving, but instead stopped until the old wizard approached and shucked off his own formal robes and stole. He wore a white t-shirt beneath denim Levi's overalls and heavy leather hiking boots. "There's something I need to speak to you about." I paused and took a second to get some of my emotions under control. Those and my stomach. I didn't want the embarrassment of a repeat performance. "What is it?" He stopped a few feet behind me. "The war isn't going well." By which he meant the war of the White Council against the Red Court of Vampires. The war had been a whole lot of pussyfooting and fights in back alleys for several years, but last year the vampires had upped the ante. Their assault had been timed to coincide with vicious activity from a traitor within the council and with the attack of a number of necromancers, outlaw wizards, who raised the dead into angry specters and zombies, among a number of other less savory things. The vampires had hit the council. Hard. Before the battle was over, they'd killed nearly 200 wizards, most of them wardens. That's why the wardens had given me a gray cloak. They needed the help. Before they'd finished, the vampires killed nearly 45,000 men, women, and children who happened to be nearby. That's why I'd taken the cloak. That wasn't the sort of thing I could ignore. "I've read the reports," I said. "They say that the Venatori Umbrorum and the Fellowship of St. Giles have really pitched in." "Is more than that. If they hadn't started up an offensive to slow the vamps down, the Red Court would have destroyed the council months ago." I blinked. "They're doing that much?" The Venatori Umbrorum and the Fellowship of St. Giles were the White Council's primary allies in the war with the Red Court. The Venatori were an ancient secret brotherhood joined together to fight supernatural darkness wherever they could, sort of like the Masons, only with more flamethrowers. By and large, they were academic sorts, and though several of the Venatori had various forms of military experience, their true strength lay in utilizing human legal systems and analyzing information brought together from widely dispersed sources.